at ABC. And I'm delighted to be with you again, sharing the word. So we started a new series, didn't we, on the Ten Commandments a few weeks ago. And so today we're going to be looking at the fourth commandment, the commandment to rest on the Sabbath. Let's read it together. This is from Exodus 20, verses 8 to 11. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do not any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. A couple of years ago, I was doing some work at home on the computer, typing away with a bit of a work deadline, and suddenly the internet went off. So go to the router, switch it off at the back, turn it back on again, wait the 30 seconds you're meant to wait, turn it back on again, doesn't appear. Okay, unplug it from the power source, plug it back in, turn it back on, still nothing. So I've got loads and loads of work deadlines, and my husband Will is about to go on a work conference call, a really important conference call, where he is presenting nationally in 15 minutes. So I'm thinking, okay, I need to cart you off to somebody else's house. So off he goes to get some internet somewhere else, because we don't have that much data on our phones to kind of be able to make that work. And so I'm left trying to sort out our internet. So I think, well, maybe there's kind of a problem going on nationally. Get on my mobile phone and just send something to our street WhatsApp group. Has anybody else's internet gone down? No. Okay, it's just ours. So I thought, well, I'll just give it a few hours, see if it comes back on. I'll have to do something else, but still nothing. So I end up having to speak to our provider, TalkTalk. They were great, by the way. This isn't anything against TalkTalk. So I get on the phone, but obviously you can't speak to somebody until you've done all the steps, like your problem-solving steps. You've got to do one, two. I'm thinking, I have done all of the steps you've told me to do. So finally, 20 minutes after kind of doing the steps, waiting, kind of hearing the music going round and round and round, I do get to speak to one of the loveliest guys, actually, at TalkTalk. And so he says, have you done this? Have you done that? Have you checked the cable? I've done all of those things. And he says, well, have you removed the router wire from your main phone line? I thought, I haven't done that. And then I thought, our main phone line sits behind our son's bed. So our son, George, he has a really tiny bedroom. And the main phone line is underneath his bed against the wall. But George's bed isn't like an actual bed. George's bed is a load of IKEA boxes all put together with a mattress plonked on top. And all of the boxes are filled with loads and loads of stuff. So I say to the guy, okay, I can get to it, but you're gonna just have to wait for a few minutes. So I'm like, I'm not very big, and this room is tiny. So I'm trying to get the mattress off and kind of like taking it out the door, plonking it up, putting it in the corridor, empty all of the boxes out of the bed, then try and like lift out a couple of the IKEA boxes to be able to finally get to the main phone line. So I'm like, I'm still here, okay, I've now done it, right, I'll plug it back in, do all the kind of the waiting stuff. Is it working? No. Brilliant. So I've now got chaos everywhere, dogs trying to like climb on top of the boxes, and I'm thinking, right, that's not worked. And then he says to me, have you pressed the reset button on the back of the router? And I was like, oh, what reset button on the back of the router? He said, well, it's a tiny, tiny button, so go to your router and have a look at the back. So I looked at the back, and like, what, that tiny, minuscule little hole, I need to press that? And he says, yes, press it. But you're gonna have to find something really small, like the back of an earring. I'm thinking, well, I'm not wearing any earrings, so I have to run upstairs to where our bedroom is, at the very top of the house, go and get an earring, find an earring, get an earring, run back down, press it, do all the kind of the waiting, the rebooting, all of that stuff. Voila, it worked. All I needed to do was to press the reset button. So I kind of said to the guy, I've never known about doing this. Why do I not know this? I mean, I'm not particularly technical. So a lot of you are probably thinking, I'd have done that straight away. But anyway, I didn't know I was meant to do this. And he explained, I said, why do you have to do this? He said, you need to do it really quite regularly because what you've got to do is the memory needs to be refreshed. And if there's any tasks that have been incomplete, they need to kind of be got rid of. And all the connections need to kind of sort of be rebooted. And when you do it regularly, when you clear it out regularly, everything starts to work again. And if you haven't done it for a while, in our case, I've never actually done it at all, the system gets very overworked, it gets very clogged up, and basically it stops working all together. I can see some of you madly writing down, must check router when I get home. Don't blame you. Don't be like me when you've got a deadline in which to fix. And I guess there's times for all of us, aren't there, when we need to press the reset button in our own lives. When we need to kind of switch off from the busyness, when we need to take a pause from all the stuff that's going on, when we need to rest in order to function well. Because when we continue in switched on mode, when we continue to be busy all the time, we just stop working well, and eventually we can stop working. Because we're not designed to be living in this constant busyness of life. Our modern day society is probably busier than ever. It's fast paced, it's fast moving. We go from meeting to meeting, don't we? We go from thought to thought, we go from activity to activity. We are always on the move. Technology is driving us faster. There is never a moment when we can't access our work emails, or where we can now access our phones. We are always on the go. And we are bound, aren't we, to things like materialism, culturalism, consumerism, all of that stuff. And we work more hours than ever. And we actually have a lot less time to enjoy it. And I think we're suffering at the hands of that. Our stress levels are on the rise. And that has implications for our physical health and our mental health. We all need rest, but I think it's become this luxury that we feel that we can't afford the time to take, or we actually sometimes think we just don't need anymore because we've not had it for a really long time. And that was never part of the plan. Rest always was and always will be part of God's plan for us. It was something that he planned for us to have as a rhythm in our own life. And the commandment from God here is to remember the Sabbath. That word Sabbath, or Shabbat in Hebrew, it means to stop, to pause, to rest. And you might be sort of asking yourself, is Sabbath living, is resting really necessary in my life? Do I need rest? Is it really going to actually improve my life? So let's just think about some of the reasons why we need to rest, why we need to Sabbath. And we need to Sabbath first because this is something that God did first. God, our very maker, he rested and he modeled this to us. He practiced the first Sabbath. This is our passage from Genesis, a very familiar passage. It says, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all of the work of creating that he had done. So 6 days he worked, and on the seventh day he rested. He took some time off. So that rhythm of rest was woven into our very creation. It was woven into the very fabric of our being. God did it first, and we are made in the image of God. And we must do it too. And when we think about the rhythms in our lives, we have the seasons, don't we? 4 seasons a year. And we have our tides that can flow in and flow out. And we think about how the earth goes around the sun. And we think about just the rising of the sun and the setting of the sun every single day. These are things that we don't necessarily notice because they're rhythms that God made to work well. When we think about like global warming, we think, actually, well, that's a rhythm that now doesn't work very well anymore. So what happens when we go away from the rhythm that God planned for us? Things become more chaotic. Things stop working. So God created a rhythm for both work and for rest, to go forward and then to stop, to produce and then to reap. And it should and was a very intrinsic, it should be an intrinsic part of our life. And only when all of creation, so this isn't just for the Israelites, this is for all of creation, is the creation what God intended it to be. So we have that rhythm of work and rest because God created it for us and modeled it first. Scripture also tells us that the Sabbath is a gift for us. So in the same passage, in this Genesis 2 passage, but also in our passage in Exodus 20 and verse 11, it has the word, he blessed it, he blessed the day. So when we bless somebody, we give them a gift, don't we? It's something we receive. And so the Sabbath is a gift that he wants to give us. We've been, this last few months in our family has been quite a busy time. It's busy normally, always anyway, but we've just, for a few reasons, it's just been a bit more full on. And I've been working quite hard and haven't, and I was thinking, I'm preaching on Sabbath, and I've not really had a Sabbath or a day in quite a few months. And I was thinking, this isn't very good, is it? And so this week, I thought I had quite a lot of prep to do in terms of planning for this. And I thought, I need to take a day of rest. I don't actually work on a Tuesday, it's my day off. But, and I normally fill it with doing quite a lot of other things. And I thought, actually, I need to go and do something that gives me life and gives me joy. So I contacted a friend who's also called Claire. So Claire and Claire. We had a couple of hours on Pickmere Lake. I've got a couple of paddle boards, and I really love paddleboarding. And so off we went in the car, just had some time, the two of us, and went paddleboarding. And you know, it was so good for me. It was so beneficial for me just to have, even though I knew I had all these deadlines and things I had to get done, I really, really needed the rest. I needed the rest for my physical health. I needed the rest for my mind. I needed the rest for my emotional stuff. I needed the rest for my spiritual health. I really, really needed to take a rest. And it was really, really wonderful. And when I was out on the water, I just was like, this is great. I'm having fun. I'm not in solitude. Sabbath doesn't always mean solitude and doing things by yourself. I was out on the water with a friend, just doing something I really love, something that gave me joy, something that gave me life. And I was like, I was created for playing about on water. It was something that was fun in me. And I just thought it was really, really wonderful. We need rest in order to live well. Because when we rest, we work more efficiently. We are more productive after we've had rest. You can't learn. If anyone's doing their exams right now, or you've got kids doing exams, don't let them have time. Don't let them continuously work, work, work. They need to have some time off to rest in order to be able to learn and to do well. And we are most fruitful when we are rested. And rest benefits other people as well, doesn't it? You know, I am horrible when I am tired. I mean, I'm awful to live with. And so I could see my friend laughing there now. And, you know, and so for the benefit of my family, rest isn't just beneficial for me. It's not just a gift from God for me. It's beneficial for everybody. So for my family, it's beneficial when I am well rested. And there's a story in John, in John 4, where Jesus is traveling. He's traveling from Judea to through Samaria to Galilee. And you think Jesus, he's a pretty busy man. He's kind of got like jobs to do. He's not got very long, has he? And he's kind of got miracles to be had and healings to be done. But he was traveling this distance, quite a few days walk. And he was hot, it was the middle of the day, he was tired, he could have kept going, he could have, because he's got stuff to do, we've all got stuff to do, he could have kept going, but he didn't. He opted to stop and to rest. And he rested by Jacob's well. And if you think, he met the woman at the well, and think that when he met the woman at the well, she encountered Jesus. She'd never known about Jesus. She was an outcast, but she encountered Jesus. And it wasn't just her that was saved. She went back and the whole village was saved. So when we rest, the benefit isn't just to us, it's to other people. I am a more effective witness of Christ when I am well rested. We notice things, don't we, a bit more? We notice when the Spirit is saying, stop here, talk to that person. We're more observant when we have rested. Remember that story of Jesus. He could have kept going. He'd got stuff to do. But he knew he needed to rest, and he took the gift that God was giving him. Rest is never going to be a waste of time. It's beneficial to you, and it's beneficial to people that you know and people that you don't know. And Sabbath living is also an act of faith. So even though the Israelites are given the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20, we sort of discover that in a few chapters before, they've actually been living with Sabbath rhythms. So in order to survive in the desert, you know, they've been wandering for many, many years. In order to survive, God provided them with this supernatural food, with manna and with quail. And every morning, they were able to go out and collect everything that was there and to take it, and it would be enough for them. And they were allowed to do this for 6 days. 6 days they could collect, they could have what they needed, whatever was left over would have been ruined for the next day. But it was fine because then they could go the next day and get all of the food that they needed. Because God said to them, you will have enough for 6 days, but on the seventh day you're going to rest. And they were kind of, well, how does this work? But on the sixth day, they were actually allowed, he gave them a double portion. They were allowed to go and collect more. There was going to be enough for them. And if normally when the things would spoil, when the kind of any leftover food would be left, that would spoil, that actually on the sixth day, it didn't spoil. When they got to the seventh day, anything that was remaining from the sixth day, there would be enough for them. And this became their rhythm. Collect for six, rest on the seventh. And some of them didn't quite get it. Some of them did still go out and have a look on the seventh because they didn't really trust God enough, did they? They kind of thought, well, maybe there isn't going to be quite enough for me or my family. So out they went on the seventh day to try and collect food. And he said, no. I need you to really listen to this. There will be enough. So often we rest because we don't believe there's going to be enough for us. Resting is an act of faith, and it's putting God completely in charge of our lives. And rest also connects us with God. I sort of mentioned this a little bit before, with kind of just when we're so busy rushing around, we just don't spot the Spirit of God moving and weaving into conversations and into kind of interactions and into just a little things. We just don't observe just sometimes the beauty and God saying to us in a moment, I love walking on the canal. God talks to me so much in that canal all the time, just because I've made it part of my rhythm just to continue to look at the canal. What's God going to say to me on this walk today in this particular moment? You know, we just get so distracted that we don't spot what God is trying to say to us. And I think this happens too quite a lot in ministry, doesn't it? We're busy doing the things that God's asking us to do, but sometimes we just don't slow down enough to spot when God is saying, actually, I was telling you to go this way, but now I'd quite like you to go that way. Or this is great, I want you to do more of this but less of that. Or actually, I want to move this around a little bit. We just don't spot it when we just keep going constantly. So practicing Sabbath rest reconnects us with our Father, with the Son, with Jesus, and with the Holy Spirit, and ensures that we are constantly living according to his will. But it's hard, isn't it? I mean, I'm making it sound quite easy, and there's lots of reasons why Sabbath is good. I don't think anyone would dispute these reasons, but why is it so hard? Why can't we do it? I am horrendous at taking a rest. And I think there's a few reasons. There's some barriers, I think, that we all put up. Things that, from ourselves, self-inflicted reasons why we just don't accept this gift. You know, God's wanting to give us a gift, but we just don't accept it. And I think kind of there's sort of two reasons, really. And the first is fear. What are we fearful of? You know, are we fearful that if we stop doing the stuff, then they're just not going to get done? That we're the only person that can do that thing? Or that actually, if we stop doing something or we just slow down enough, that everything's going to fall apart? Reality, it doesn't, does it? But we think it's going to fall apart, don't we? Are we fearful about stopping because we fear that everything is going to crumble around us? Do we fear that maybe we've not got enough stuff? We've got to keep working because actually maybe we need a bit more money. Maybe we're concerned about providing for our family. Maybe we're concerned about losing our jobs. And so we feel like we just need to keep going a bit, working a bit harder and a bit harder so that our employers are pleased with us and we can keep our jobs. Are we fearful that we might not be enough? And maybe we're sort of tied up with feeling that actually, in order for my self-worth to be filled up, in order for me to feel good, in order for me to have my identity, I've got to keep going. I've got to maybe get to the top of the professional ladder. I've got to become better at something. I've got to keep my house really tidy, or my garden really looking neat, or my hedges trimmed so my neighbours don't think I'm really lazy. I think that can be a real problem when our identity can get caught up in our work. And I think we can get really fearful of what people think of us as well. And when people worry that what people think of them? Because I think that is what can often drive us. And maybe we might have an issue that we just don't want to face. We're fearful of facing an issue, and we know that if we stop, perhaps we're going to have more time and we're going to have to start unpicking that. I have a friend recently that was telling me this. She went and became the chair of our PTA because she didn't want to deal with the death of her mum. And she knew that if she kept being really, really busy, it was something that she might have to deal with in 6 months' time or a year's time or 2 years' time. She just didn't want to deal with it. So she didn't really have time to become the chair of the PTA. I mean, I was grateful because it meant I didn't have to do it. But it probably wasn't the thing that was maybe the right thing for her. So that's fear. Fear is a real problem that we all face. And you may have some of your other thoughts going on here about what you're fearful of. But I think the other barrier that we face is our ego. You know, I don't need rest because I'm strong, I'm great. I think those people that need rest are just really weak. You know, do you feel like that sometimes? Or anyone like to wear that I'm really busy badge? We do that quite a bit in our family. Who plays the game of who's busiest, reeling off all the jobs of things that they've been doing and how busy they are? That's something that we can fall into a trap of, particularly in my family. And it's about kind of fulfilling our ego, making us feel great. And what about just kind of that sense of, I want to achieve stuff, I want to accumulate stuff because that's where I place my worth. All of this stuff keeps us trapped into constantly working, overworking, busy mindset, hurry, moving fast, and never taking time to stop. And it leads to this place of restlessness, what I call restlessness. Even if there was a moment to stop, you just physically can't. You're just on a travelator of busyness. And you get no joy, you get no peace, you get no harmony, you get no connection. You become isolated, you become worried, you become anxious, you become all of these things. And you think, I just don't know how to get off the travelator of busyness. We find it hard to rest, don't we? But if we can allow it for ourselves, if we can find that rhythm that was woven into our very being, if we can accept the gift that he wants to give each of us, and if we can put enough trust in him, we're going to discover that the Sabbath can pave the way to freedom from restlessness. I'll repeat that. The Sabbath paves the way to freedom from restlessness. Sorry. The Sabbath paves the way to freedom from restlessness. God's plan for all of humanity was that we could have a rhythm of rest in our lives. He didn't just command it of us, he demonstrated it. He showed us how to do it, and then he created this framework of the Sabbath for us to experience it and to live in it. He doesn't want us to be a slave to restlessness and to busyness anymore. So what is causing you to be restless? What can you do to pave the way to freedom from restlessness? We each need to kind of discover what is driving our busyness. What is motivating our busyness? Is something that you may be fearful of, frightened of, anxious about, or maybe your ego has just kind of got caught up. And just today, when we have some time of prayer, just ask God to show you what it is. And he may show you, today, he may show you tomorrow. He may continue to show you. It may be a process of discovery and confession, and asking God to start helping you with it. And it's not easy. It's not easy to say, okay, maybe I've been caught up in all this sin. I've been caught up in some of this stuff. But freedom only comes when we're kind of happy and prepared to let it go. And when you've made the decision to live a life with Sabbath rhythm, remember that it's a gift. It's a gift he wants to give you to pave a way to freedom from restlessness. It's not meant to be oppressive in any way. It's not meant to be legalistic. It's meant to be this gift that he gives you. In that pursuit of rest, Jesus wants each of us to be gentle with ourselves, to find it, to discover it, to yearn for more of it, to talk about it, to show our children about it, because we need to change the culture of busyness. He is longing for us to come into his presence, to connect with us. He's longing for all of that for each of us. And just a really quick closing thought, because I did talk about walking down the canal, and I had another one a week or so ago, and I think it is really relevant. So I got onto the canal, and the water was just so still. It was stiller than I'd seen it. I mean, it is pretty still in a canal anyway, isn't it? But it was more still than normal. And it was so still and so peaceful that the reflection on the water was magnificent. So kind of the trees and the houses that lined the canal, and there was sort of a barge parked up. It was almost the picture in the water was clearer than actually kind of the actual things on the canal side. And I just was captivated. I didn't want to leave that space. I only had to move on because the dog was like running off, so I had to continue. It just was so captivating. I couldn't really take my eyes off it. I just wanted to stay in that stillness. I just really felt that God was trying to connect with me in this moment. But I went underneath the bridge, because that's sort of the journey I take. I went underneath the bridge, and the water had just changed, not by much, but it had changed a little bit. So the kind of a little bit of a side wind had come in. The dog had run, and so made like a whole family of ducks jump in the water. So it was kind of like ripples going on everywhere. And the reflection had gone. And I really felt God was saying, this is what busyness looks like. This movement, I couldn't see in the water, this beautiful image, it had gone. When we're busy, we just don't see what God wants to show us, what God wants to gift us, when it's just busy. And I made a decision at that point that I didn't want to be on this side of the bridge. I wanted to be on the other side of the bridge, the side that was beautifully clear and still and peaceful. That was a decision I made. And I guess my question for you as we close is, which side of the bridge do you want to live on? So we'll just pray now. And just as we pray, just ask God to show you maybe what is motivating you, how he wants you to begin practicing Sabbath rest. Let's pray. So Jesus says, come to me, get away with me, and you will recover your life. I'm going to show you how to take a real rest, it says. He says, walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. He says, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. And he says, keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. He says, I'm going to show you how to take a real rest. I pray those words will resonate with us today. He's going to show us how to take a real rest. Thank you, Jesus, for this promise of those words from Matthew. Thank you that you promise a life of freedom with you. And Lord, we know that your commandment tells us to rest, to take regular rest. And we read in your word that it is good for us, it is for our benefit and for the benefit of other people. It helps us stay connected. But Lord, it is just so hard to come by and we just seem to fight it. So Lord, just show us now what is driving our busyness. Lord, show us what is motivating us just to keep going in life. Lord, show us which side of the bridge we're on right now. And Lord, I pray that you'll just call us to the side of the bridge, to that place of stillness. And Lord, maybe we're willing to accept the truth and come to you ready to be reset. And may we wholeheartedly take hold of this gift of the Sabbath. May we discover something wonderful and beautiful in and through it. And I just pray over us that we will begin to, rather than holding busyness with such high position and high regard, I pray that we begin to be a people that put rest in high regard. And we begin to talk about that and we begin to model that. And that out of us is this thirst and hunger for more and more rest that you ask us to live in. Amen.